Attention to that passage of scripture that we read, Philippians chapter 3 and the verses 13 and 14 is our text this morning. Brethren, now I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the praise of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to talk this morning about the praise. The praise. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the praise of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I suppose the subject is somewhat appropriate because as I was thinking this week about praise giving, the children receiving their praises for their faithfulness and attendance at the house of God and in Sunday school. A praise is something that you get for faithfulness. And the children who have been faithful today will be getting their praises. But there's also a praise for the people of God. You'll notice this verse, it talks about a praise. And the Apostle Paul, he says, I'm aiming for that. I'm pressing for the praise at the end of the course. And I have to press on, he says, so that I can get it and obtain it. Now, whenever Paul says, I press toward the praise, I would have you to know that he has a picture in his mind. He has a picture in his mind, and I think it's very important that we get the picture. That's the wonderful thing about the Bible. It's so picturesque. It's not just words and propositions. The Bible draws from nature and from events around, and it's such a picturesque book. And Paul has in mind here a certain picture. You see, Philippi that he's writing to is in Greece. And in Paul's day, Greece was part of the Roman Empire. And the thing about Greece, ancient Greece, and the thing about ancient Rome was that they loved sports. They loved spectacular sports. That's where the Olympic Games come from. The Olympic Games have been, you know, they were founded thousands of years ago in the Greek Empire. And the sort of the tradition was carried on by the Romans, the idea of sports. They built large sports stadiums, and they had these sports activities in them. Now, I don't think Paul attended the sports. I don't think he attended the sports stadiums. There would have been things that would have prevented him doing that as a Christian. Now, sometimes they would have rode, for example, run naked and things like that. So there were things that would have prevented him as a Christian attending sports events. And he certainly was far too busy in the Christian race to be worried about sports stadiums and things like that. But he knew Gentiles who had been involved in sports. And he knew that that culture was very important to the Gentile people among the Grecians and also among the Romans. And sometimes when he would write to the Gentile congregations, he would use pictures and illustrations from the sporting world. And one of the most spectacular sports in Rome, around about the time of the Apostle Paul, was chariot racing. Now, chariot racing was quite spectacular. It was very fast, and it's very ancient. It dates back away to the 600 years before Christ. And there were stadiums built mainly for chariot racing. There was one famous stadium in Rome that was called the Circuit Maximus, and it could seat 150,000 people. Imagine 150,000 people seated to watch a sporting event. So that's how big it was in those days. And so Rome was famous for its chariot racing. And I think that's what Paul has in mind here. And he says, I press toward the mark for the praise. I think he has in mind here the chariot racing. And he's thinking of the chariots. Chariot racing was very important, as I said, to the culture. And the young people, their heroes would be the charioteers. And you read about one famous ancient chariot race in a fictional novel called Ben-Hur. And there's a great description there of a chariot race of those ancient times. What's a chariot? Maybe some of you children are asking. Well, a chariot is it's like a car or a cart, but it's like a car without a roof. It only has two wheels instead of four wheels. It's very light, and it's not got an engine to make it drive. It has horses, and most of the chariot racing had four horses. So this picture of four horses, little chariot, a man standing up in his chariot, and he's racing. He's pressing towards the mark for the prize. And I think that's the picture that Paul has in mind. There's no steering wheel. There's only the ropes or the reins that would connect to each of the horses. And the chariot, he would tie them around his waist, and he'd be able to guide the horses by the movement of his body. Very expertise work. And you had to be well trained, and you had to work at it hard and faithfully to be a good, fast charioteer. I think that's what Paul has in mind. Like a charioteer, he says, I press toward the praise of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul has that picture in his mind. He tells of the praise that he wanted in verse 14, the praise of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's a heavenly praise. Those who race below just race it for a laurel or an earthly crown and some promotion and some applause from the crowd. But Paul says, I race for a high praise, a heavenly praise, a praise of being with Jesus Christ and having his well done and receiving a crown from his hand for being a faithful servant of his. He says, that's the praise I race for. So he wasn't interested in the sports. And he wasn't interested in literal chariots. And he wasn't interested in the applause of the 150,000 people at the stadium, as overawing as that must and might have been. He was interested in the applause of the angels and the applause of the glorified church and the well done of his Saviour, Jesus Christ. And that's what we should be interested in. We're going to get no prizes in this world. We're not going to get a pat on the back from many men. But as long as we have the well done of Jesus Christ, that's all that matters. He had this mentality. Now, I want you to know, there are some people who think Paul was racing to get saved. Now, that's nonsense. He wasn't racing to get saved. He was racing for the prize. The prize is something more than salvation. It's something beyond that. It's a crown that you can cast down at Jesus' feet. He's not racing to be saved. He was saved. He was a Christian. He doesn't say, I press toward the mark that I might get saved. That's nonsense. The minute he stepped into the chariot, he was saved. You can't be in the race until you're saved. You can't press toward the prize until you're in the chariot of salvation itself. And that's how Paul started the race. He got into the chariot one day. He got into God's salvation. He got into Christ. And you know how he got into it? He was on the Damascus Road. He was in another chariot. He was in another race. But on the Damascus Road, he met Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, why do you persecute me, Paul? And he found out who he was. And he believed in the Lord Jesus that day. And he says, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he got into the chariot. I'm speaking figurative now. He got saved. He's standing in Christ. He's in the Christian race now. He's a believer. And he's got the reins tied around his waist. And he's been led by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he's in the race. He says, I'm in the race now. And boys and girls, you know, you may get a prize for coming to Sunday school and for attending church, but you'll never get to heaven until you get into the chariot of salvation, until you follow Christ, until you step by faith onto the foundation, onto the chariot floor, Jesus Christ. Get into Him and trust in Him and depend on Him and let Him into your life. And then you can be in the race. You can only race when you get in the chariot. And you can only race for the prize when you get saved. And you get into salvation and get into Christ. And there's some of you here today and you're not saved. You're running after other prizes. You're running after the world. You need to get into Christ. You need to be saved. You need to follow the Lord. And you need to aim for the heavenly prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So this isn't about being a Christian for Paul. He was already a Christian on the Damascus Road. But this is about following the Lord, about continuing in the faith, about going on. And that's what I want to speak about. So he's on the chariot. I want you to notice what his mentality is. He refuses, first of all, to be self-confident and complacent, because he says there in verse 13, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I'm in the race, but I don't count myself to have got to the finish line yet. What does he mean? Well, he means that I haven't got the prize yet. I don't count myself to have got it yet. Now, some people are very confident. They think they're sure of the prize. And you get very confident and very cocky and very self-complacent. And that's wrong. And they think it's a dabble. But you have to continue in the race. You have to be faithful. You have to press toward the mark. You have to keep on going. And you don't get the prize until you finish. So you can't be complacent. And you boys and girls weren't complacent. You didn't come to Sunday school on the first Sunday at the start of the term. Say, oh, I've come to Sunday school today. I don't have to worry about the rest of the Sunday schools. I'll get a prize. I'll come once. I'll get a great prize because I've come once. You can't think like that. Paul didn't think like that. He says, I don't think like I've already got it. I have to keep going. Week after week. Sabbath after Sabbath. I have to keep at it. I have to keep going and I press toward the end. And you boys and girls were like that. You knew you had to come every Sabbath. You don't get just the prize for coming once or twice. You have to come faithfully and regularly. And that's the way it is in the things of God for the praises and glory for the people of God. The saints have to be faithful. They have to be consistent. You don't hear the well done. And you don't receive a crown. Unless you're consistent. And so that's what Paul's aiming for. And he says, I have to press on. I can't be unfaithful. You know, the Lord Jesus said one time, he says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take your crown. You see, some people can take your crown. They can. And the Lord Jesus says, look, don't hold fast. Press on. Don't let anybody take your crown, no matter who they are. Don't be afraid of their face. Don't be turning back because of some man. Don't let anybody take your crown. Press on. Go to the end. So you can lose your crown, you see. And Paul says, I don't want to lose my crown. I don't want to lose my prize. I'm pressing on. And I don't count myself as if I already have it in the bag. And men and women, you have to finish the race. It's not how you start off that matters. It's how you finish it. That's what matters. You have to cross the finish line. You have to be consistent and faithful. And you can't be complacent. And you can't say, I can stop praying. Or I can stop going to church. I don't have to worry about the Sabbath day. And I don't have to worry about the services. That's not the mentality of Paul. He says, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I have to be faithful every Sabbath. Every Lord's Day I have to be in the Sunday school. Every Lord's Day I have to be in God's house. I have to read the Bible every day. I have to pray every day. I have to finish the line, cross the line. He doesn't have the attitude, oh, I can love the world, I can live in sin, I can do what I like. No, you can't. You can't. You have to have the mentality of Paul. And you have to say, I press on. And so he wasn't complacent. And he wasn't self-confident. And then secondly, he says he forgets the things that are behind. He says there in verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind. Now that's something a child up here has to do.
A chariot here can't look back.
He can't look back. He has to forget everything that he passes. And he can't look behind him. He can't do it.
Remember how the Lord Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back. You know, there are people who have looked back and they got off. They got off the chariot. They looked back. They can't look back. There's no looking back.
You remember Lot's wife? The Lord Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. And what are we to remember about Lot's wife? She looked back. She left Sodom. She was on the road out of Sodom. But she missed all the worldly things. She missed all her worldly friends. And she looked back. She wanted to go back.
And she turned into a pillar of salt, the Bible says. She looked back. You can't look back.
He says, I forget those things that are behind. I see a fast-moving charioteer. He can't look back because it's dangerous.
For a start, it would mean taking your eyes off the road. You know, when you look back, you take your eyes off the road. You know, sometimes we look around when we're driving the car. That's very dangerous. Once or twice, I've nearly been in the back of someone by looking around.
You can't look around. You can't look back. You have to keep straight forward, looking forward to the pressing toward the prize.
Now, a charioteer can't look back because, you see, it's very fast. And there are two big corners, one at each end of the circuit. And you have to put your whole mind and attention coming up to each of those corners. It's so fast. And you have to get that corner at the right angle. And you have to watch for the obstacles ahead so that you can turn around. Most people crash at the corners. And you have to put all your focus into that. And you can't look back. If you look back, you'll not be right set up for the corners and for the difficult parts of the course.
So you have to stop looking back about your friends in the past and about the things in the world. You have to put them behind you.
You can't look back. The circuit, and also there are people crashing around you.
Oh, there's my friend in another chariot. He's crashed. He's made shipwreck. Oh, I want to look back. I want to look back. But you can't.
You can't look back for anybody. Even if they make shipwreck.
Even if they crash and go off the course, you can't look back. If part of your team leaves you,
we could run in teams, it could be team races,
and part of your team could crash, you can't look back. You have to keep going.
And sometimes there's people leave us, but we can't look back.
We have to keep going. I press toward the prize, no matter who crashes, no matter about all the chariots dropping out, you have to press toward the prize.
Many who said they were Christians, and that's what I mean, who said they were Christians, have made shipwreck. They crashed on the course. Paul talks about some of them.
He says to young Timothy, he says, hold faith. Like a rain, hold faith. Hold the truth of God. And he says, hold a good conscience. That's something else you should have a good hold of. A good conscience.
He says, hold faith and a good conscience. He says, some having put away have swerved. And they've made shipwreck. And that was one of the words they used whenever chariots crashed. They were called a shipwreck. And he says, there's some that have swerved and they've made shipwreck. They didn't hold faith and they didn't hold a good conscience. And they made shipwreck. He says, Timothy, don't you be doing that. And then he gives the name of a couple who did that. Hymenaeus and Alexander, they made shipwreck.
And then there was another man called Demas. He looked back. He loved this present world. He looked back. And Paul says, he left me.
Child of God, you can't look back for anything.
Don't be looking behind you. Keep forward towards the mark.
Another reason why the charioteer couldn't look back was because the reins were tight around him. And his movement was very fine to guide the horses. And if he turned around to look, you can imagine what that would do to some of the horses. You can't look back. Your whole being, your whole body and your soul and your mind has to just be in one thing, going forward. Don't look back for anybody, no matter who they are. If they make shipwreck and crash your chart and go all over the place, you have to keep going. So don't you let go. And don't you get a bad conscience. And don't you let go of the faith. Keep going. Keep going. So the charioteer can't look back. He can stop for nothing. Even the mistakes he's made in the past.
Oh, I could have went over that bump better. But you can't go back to go over it right. You have to keep going. You can't change the mistakes of the past. Don't look back. Your sins are under the blood. Keep going forward. Don't look back. Don't look back. Forget everything that's behind. Paul says, I don't look back. I let nothing discourage me behind. If I look back, I could be discouraged. I just have to keep looking forward. Child of God, that's what I want to say to you this morning. Are the things in the past discouraged? And you're sitting brooding all over them and thinking about them and going all over them, and they're poisoning your mind. You have to stop. Forgiving those things that are behind. Oppress the word of Mark. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So don't be stopping and don't be looking back. So he says, I forget the things that are behind. And then lastly, thirdly, he says there, and reaching forth. I'm reaching forth onto those things which are before. I'm looking to the things that are before. And I'm reaching forth onto, my whole mind is in the future. My whole mind is in what's in heaven and where Christ is. And I'm pressing toward the mark. So he uses two verbs there. He says, I'm reaching forth. I'm reaching forth. And he says, I press toward the mark. That's a charioteer who wants to finish and who doesn't want to make shipwreck. And that's the way you have to be, child of God. In all the speed and the excitement of a fast-moving race, you have to appreciate the charioteer. That's the way he has to be. I push forward. It's as if I'm the horses. It's as if I'm the chariot. As if I'm just, this is all me. This whole moving body is just me. And my whole being is in it. And that's the way a chariot has to be. It's like you become part of that chariot. That's how we need to follow Jesus Christ. With that earnestness. With that determination. That's how we need to get out to Sunday school every Sunday morning. And get out to church, to all the meetings every Lord's Day, and to get under the ministry of the Word, and to get to the prayer meeting. With that enthusiasm, with that zeal, with that consistency, with that faithfulness, my whole being is in it. That's how we need to follow Christ. Praying and studying and just reaching forth. Looking on to Jesus. Right, the writer to the epistle to the Hebrews said that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. It's like he's in a stadium. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, he wasn't thinking about the Gentiles in their stadiums, you know, roaring on the ordinary sports. He's thinking of the church glorified and all the saints looking on, waiting for the saints of God one by one to enter into glory as they finish their race. That's what he has in mind. He says we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. They're waiting for us to finish. They're waiting for us to cross the line. They're waiting for us to receive the crown of glory from Jesus' hand and the well done. That's the way it is. We're in a race. And the saints are looking on, waiting for us to enter into glory and get the crown. And he says, let us lay aside every weight. You can't have a big weight in the chariot and think you're going to win the race. There can't be any weight in your chariot. And so the apostle says, lay aside every weight. Every weight. And get on with the race. Lay aside every weight. And the sin that besets you, the sin that gets you off the course, the sin that would put you off, he says, lay it aside. So lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us with patience run the race that's set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then he gives us a picture of the greatest racer of all. Who was the greatest racer of all? It was Jesus Christ. He says, so let's look on to him, he says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, he despised the shame. The shame of our sins didn't put him off dying on the cross. It didn't put him off finishing his race for us sinners. He raced to the end through shame and suffering and pain and bearing even the weight of our sins. He raced to the end and he finished. And he did that for the joy that was set before him. We have to follow our Lord Jesus Christ.
So the will of God is very simple for us, congregation. We keep looking on to Jesus, and we're not going to be looking back. We're pressing toward the mark. I hope we're doing that as a congregation. I hope we're doing that as individuals in our own Christian life. And I have to say to sinners, you need to get into the chariot of salvation. You're not even going to get to heaven unless you get into Christ. Unless you get saved. And you need to get into the race. And don't be delaying that. Because life's very short. Life's very short. You need to be saved. And you need to be saved today.